jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to philosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
philosophy. We're back, and this week we actually just came from the supermarket, and on our way we're like, what are we going to talk about?
It is nothing but a professional outfit here at Gilosophy. Nothing but the best.
But there's one thing, because we're having a conversation about time, that I think you, Galinho, and I were having breakfast at Pret, and we're talking about egos first. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this. But then the other thing is, I've been watching so many documentaries on football, and also a lot of like games, and trying to understand what's going on. Oh, blah, blah, blah. That it's like one thing that stuck out to me. It's in this Tottenham documentary when Mourinho mentions to the players, like, you have to be mean, you have to be angry, you can't just be nice, guys.
Who does that sound like?
Exactly. Exactly like Luis. And that's one of the things I was wondering, like, what do you think? So yeah, I was just thinking, like, how do, like, I, of course, emotions play a big part, mm-hmm. but a lot of times people talk about, oh, you have to control your emotions and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But what about stuff like being angry and, like, using envy, using, yeah, like, all yeah. these weird emotions that maybe are not, like, so welcome.
Yeah.
As nice.
Yeah.
To be like, no. Oh, today I'm gonna smash.
Yeah, I mean, my gut reaction to that is, if you can harness your emotions to get a outcome you want, then I think that's probably a good thing. I think when emotions control you, or when they get the better of you and it's to your detriment, that's when it's a problem and an issue. So anger can be harnessed into something really good, especially in jiu-jitsu, because as coach always says, it is a fight. When you shake hands with that guy and the ref says combat, that's you and another guy having a physical fight, you know, not a play fight. Like, you're trained to fight, to choke that person, to submit them and to dominate them. So I think if anger motivates you and it pushes you, and you know, you feel like you're going to give up, and then all of a sudden you tap into that anger and you can make it work for you, that's great. But if, let's take another example, you're training with someone on the mats and they get the better of you and you get angry and you let your ego, and you let that anger take over you and your ego get in the way, and then you do something stupid, then that's a bad thing. That's not a good thing.
Because one of the things was, it's like, you know, like when, because the anger, even in fights, right? Like, let's say it can be, how do you say, detrimental, in the sense of, you might make a mistake because of, I want to show this person something, right?
Yeah.
And especially, like, I think, like, let's say in a tournament, you have, like, 4 or 5 fights.
Mm-hmm.
It can burn you out.
Definitely. So and if you, like, let's say you lose your cool, you get angry because, let's say, some guy sweeps you and I don't know, make it whatever scenario you want. But you get angry, and because you get angry, you lose focus and you rush in and you get caught, like, let's say, in a submission, and it's because you didn't keep your cool and your calm, then that's bad. At the same time, let's say that guy sweeps you, some people can sometimes just give up, like, oh, he swept me, like, I'm not gonna, you know, do well. But, you know, coach is there saying, come on, man, get angry. Like, that can motivate you to think, I'm not gonna let that sweep and those 2 points be the end of this.
I remember this one tournament where there was a guy talking so much shit
to you. It was to me. Yeah, it was to me. Oh man, that was bad. He really was just not like the positive, respectful embodiment of jiu-jitsu. I think he just wanted a scrap. But what was bad about this guy was we were at a tournament, which was a round robin tournament.
Yeah.
And there was one guy in our division who clearly was a lot less experienced than everyone else and was getting beat quite badly in the matches. And we kept coming off and being like, oh, you know, I really need to train harder. I'm really not very good at this. And the general feeling when I'm at a tournament is I don't really chat to my competitors. There's time afterwards to be friends and pals, but in the moment, you're there to fight and you don't need to be making friends with them. But it was a case where this guy was so bad that people were like, nah, you know, you're doing way better than you think. Like, kudos for you to coming and competing. Like, jiu-jitsu isn't necessarily about the competitions. It's about growth and development. And there just seemed in this little moment for this, like, support to pop up and help this guy. Apart from this one guy who also wasn't doing very good. But when he fought this guy, was trash talking him, and when he got on top and like mounted and started like screaming like, yeah, let's go, woo, like, how do you like that and stuff like this, and it was really like not very, very nice to see. And that motivated me because the guy that was doing all the screaming, I had him in the next fight, and I remember thinking, this guy is obviously going to bring some heat. He's going to bring some intensity. Some of the stuff he was doing wasn't strictly, you know, fair, like sportsmanship. There were some nasty moves in there, some like dubious things that he was doing. And I remember thinking, okay, if he's going to come with that, but also like he's being really disrespectful, I want to try and come at him with the full force that I can. And hearing myself say that, definitely probably a bit of ego in there for me, like, what am I, some white knight trying to champion guy? Like, but it triggered me a bit, I guess. And
like,
and
afterwards, did you feel like taught you a lesson, or was it like, oh no, that peaceful jiu-jitsu, like what was it like?
I don't know, man. Like, again, like some white belt saying he went out there and schooled someone, that's not really what I thought it was. It was just I didn't like what he was doing, and it wasn't that I wanted to teach him a lesson. I just figured if that's the game you want to play, like, I'm all in. Let's go for it, and let's fight in that way. That being said, it could have gone horribly wrong. He could have absolutely schooled me and just beat me. So,
top of that.
So I guess the story I'm telling isn't one that I'm necessarily proud of or encourage you should to do. It's just an honest story of what I felt at the time.
Yeah, and I think like even stuff like that, right? It's like I mean that's his style. That's one opponent, right?
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
I was listening to this podcast with by Verdum, and he has like a podcast in Portuguese. He interviews a lot of fighters, people he looks up to, and he had Bochecha.
Who?
Bochecha.
Yeah.
And it was in Portuguese, but Bochecha was telling this story about how he was about to give up jiu-jitsu. So. He was training really hard. He was doing well in the lower belts. Then he got to black belt. It was just like, whoa, it's like losing so much.
Yeah.
And he always thought, like, I wanna try to push myself to the highest level.
Yeah.
Go to the States, compete, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he went to the States the first time. Things didn't work out well for him. He went back to Brazil and he was like, man, I'm going to start going back to school and graduate. And maybe do jiu-jitsu part-time. 1 weekend he had like a competition, so it's like, let me go. The prize was a car.
Wow.
He goes, he wins. By the way, he says when he was in the States, he was seeing Rodolfo Vieira winning everything.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, maybe I should go, because that was like one of his peers.
Yeah.
And also one of his biggest oppositions. So it's just like, he goes, he wins the tournament. But when they bring the car is so small, it doesn't even fit inside the car.
Yeah.
So the guy that was putting up the event was also giving the car. He's like, I can sell it right now. So he's like, yeah, sell it. So he says that was the first big paycheck that made him like, oh, maybe.
He sold the car.
Yeah. So like, maybe I can go back and train.
Yeah.
But one thing that strike me, it's like even some fights when you watch Buchecha and Rodolfo, like the earlier fights, and I've heard, I don't know if this is like a myth or not, but I'll take it as truth just to make the story cooler. I remember, I think someone saying that was the thing. It's like, if you're not training, Rodolfo is training right now. And for Rodolfo Vieira, it's like, if you're not training, Buchecha, they didn't like each other very much.
Yeah.
But more like, I think, in a competition style.
Yeah. So I guess that, for me, is the motivation.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things I was thinking about as well, let's take it on the flip side.
Yeah.
Talking about happiness on the mats, or like feeling good on the mats. Because for me, for a long time, if I did well, I would think, well, I'm supposed to do well.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't let myself dwell on it for too long. However, I've actually gone the flip way on that now. Like, I've met myself in the middle. I don't focus for too long and just think I won one tournament, so now, like, this, I'm that. But at the same time, I don't just quickly move on. I let myself enjoy that for a while and think about why it was good, what felt good, analyze it a bit more. Because before, I was holding myself to a standard. You should win. That's what you should do. But by doing that, it's a never-ending slog.
It's chasing.
And there's no reward in it. You know, the whole point of going out and competing and doing well is so you get that little boost of, like, recognition for yourself and you feel good, and you should be allowed to feel good. You should be able to enjoy that. I always believe losing teaches you more. However, you should focus on those good things and try and tap into what worked well and go from there. And I think it's important to recognize when you're doing well, same as recognizing when you're doing bad as well.
It's like, it takes work to be, like, appreciative.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's so easy to take it for granted because... It's. I think we spoke about. We usually. Oh my God! I remember this day like it's yesterday. That was one day. I think this is. It's been a year now. Coach put us rolling like hardcore. We were not stopping. Like, the two of us.
Yeah. And that was just before the Europeans. Wasn't
it? You're preparing. Like, we're going, bro. There was one moment there. I thought, like, man, just yesterday, I didn't know how to do a hip escape. And it's like, it was crazy.
Those moments of clarity in the
rules. Yeah, like, and it was like in the rules, like, whoa, because you were about to pass my guard and I just recovered. And then, like, I was about to sweep and then you just recovered. It's like, whoa, what? It was like so nice to, like, be like someone, like, where I'm pushing myself to my edge and you're pushing yourself to your edge. Whoa.
But that's, I think that's important. I think... There's a difference between doing something and bragging.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between doing something and recognizing that moment of progression and looking and pulling something off and thinking, that was really good. And I should really recognize that, because you need those little bits of rewards. You need to feel like you're moving forward.
And then that was the thing. For example, that moment is like, wow. Sort of like, I went home. Like,
I remember that role so, so that was one of the times I've nearly thrown up. It was horrific.
And the thing is, like, but at the same time, I had so much ego because, like, it was like, I could not let you, know, like, and you could not, but at the same time, it was like, it was not in a negative way, but it was a little bit like, no way, not today, right?
The thing is, ego can get you hurt.
Yeah.
Because if you go the far opposite way and you're this guy that doesn't tap and you refuse to tap, like, to lower belts, or, like, you don't like guys so you don't tap, that can get you injured. That really can. And I think one of the hardest things to talk about with jiu-jitsu, because you can't have ego, the ego really can't play a role, is when you do start to talk about situations where you can come across as a bit braggy or a bit macho or a bit like, yeah, I put it on that guy. Like, it's difficult to talk about those things because it happens, but no one really wants to admit it because it's almost like admitting there's an ego in there and you're not supposed to have that.
Coach taught me something really cool the other day. I was, because I rolled in another school and I think I tapped someone as a higher belt.
I remember this.
And I was telling him, and then he goes like, man, you don't know why you tapped the white belt. Yeah, maybe he was just having a bad day. Maybe he had an injury. Maybe like he can
he
be
said,
like
I remember he said, things. We'll bring that purple belt here. Yeah. And then we'll see how you do.
And then he said also like, you don't have to prove anything, you know? That was like
And I think that's key, right? We don't have to prove anything. And
you know what's the crazy thing about, for example, that moment? I didn't notice that that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, like I was just doing it, and maybe I've done it before. Yeah. So I think
it's so hard. It's contextual. Like what I'm trying to communicate could be interpreted as something else. You know, I think sometimes it's quite clear cut. Like you hear so many stories of like someone took it easy on someone and they start bragging. They're like, you know, oh man, like he couldn't get nothing. And they're like, do you want me to really go for it? Because if you want me to go for it, I'll put it on you. And you have to be careful. And it's I think it's tricky talking about anything like that because it can be interpreted as you think you're this, you think you're that.
But then, you know, like, I was going to say I have a theory, but then I just realized how sort of like self-indulgent. not even self-indulgent. That is, I have a theory, right? Yeah. But it's like one thing I always think about, like, kind of like, think about, you know, like food, how it has like different like some this like mild, medium,
and sort of
like people kind of also have like different temperaments that can kind of be sensed like that. There are people that are naturally just hot, like, you know, like
100%, you know, 100%. There are some people out there that compete that seriously just want to snap your arm.
Yeah.
They revel in that. Or, you know, the way that they are put together, the way they've been brought up, whatever it is, they seriously just want to go out there and fight and go for it. And kudos to them, man, because they've got something in them that, you know, a lot of people struggle with. A lot of people come into jiu-jitsu and they kind of gravitate towards competing, and it's a very complex and like long process for them. Some people just want to rip a head off, you know, they just want to unleash that aggression.
The beast, right?
Yeah.
And then there it goes, right? Because, for example, you notice even when you're watching like other fighters and other sports, right? But it's like, I think that's the thing. There are people that's their personality. Yeah. I don't think it's much of them trying to hamp themselves up or...
No.
But I think that's the time when your emotions can come in your way. Like, let's say, for example, someone is way too chilled.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like knowing, okay, sort of like, yeah, like I am mild, right? Yeah. It's like that's my tone.
Yeah.
And at some point, I might have to hamp things up.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to talk about football anymore. But it's like, but that's, I was watching an interview with Mourinho,
mm-hmm.
where he was talking about, because I think Arsene Wenger made a book.
Yeah.
About his whole sort of like career.
Yeah.
And as a coach, he has like this approach of like giving the players time and coaching slowly and sort of even how the team plays. It's like mm-hmm. it's a little fluid, and the other guy is like just completely super intense, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
I think they still have sort of like a awkward rivalry behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So it's like that level of man, I think I'm getting lost in what I was saying, but it's like that level of what's the word? It's not grumpy. It's petty, right?
Yeah.
Of like, for example, I think that are some people that do very well with that, and it's like rather than judging yourself, like I shouldn't be petty. I should be competitive in a good way. It's like, fuck it. This is...
Yeah. And there is a part of me that thinks that. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, like, well, as coach said, it's a fight. Like, yeah. I suppose when it comes to training, there are two things I see. There are those that like to chase someone. So someone's better than them and they want to beat them because that's like, they can see the goal and they can see the target. And then there's those that have people coming up behind them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I can't slip. Yeah, I can't, because if I slip, they're there. I suppose when you get to a high level with any sport, you have to have an ego. You have to have the belief that you can go out there and you can win. And if that means that you need to hype yourself up and believe your own you know, destiny or whatever it is. I think you need that. I think you have to have that level of, I can do this.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, most part of the times, people who don't have that and win a lot, it's usually not true. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of sports that are people that are painted as, oh, he's like a saint.
Yeah.
But we usually don't see the day-to-day or behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's like...
I suppose the one unanimous thing that everyone can probably agree on is sportsmanship.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons jiu-jitsu is so beautiful because it does strip away the ego. And when you and some other person that you're rolling with go 100%, like the love that you feel, there's like no greater compliment, is there?
Yeah.
Than going 100% with them, but knowing that you're not going to finish the armbar or finish like any like nasty little thing. It's like almost that mutual respect that you're playing within the rules, giving your all, and the other person's giving your all. You're just so committed to that moment of sparring.
And that sense of being humbled makes you go home and think about it.
100%.
And 100%. Want to train harder.
The goal should be to empower others through it.
Yeah.
That should be. However, if it was easy as that, we wouldn't be having these conversations. The thing is, these conversations happen, I guess, in every gym, in every, you know, way that people do it, because it's natural, right, to want to explore. Because emotions are confusing and an ego is confusing.
Yeah.
And knowing how to progress and get better and handle that is also confusing. And as someone like yourself and I, who are quite early on in that journey, you know, we're figuring that out and we're working with it.
One thing I think it's like, it's also like one of our friends mentioned this the other day. We were chatting. He's like, man, it's so crazy. But this is like, I think also about, it's a long time ago, when we used to have sort of like the gym open. We're just like, arrived, everyone was early, stretching. I think it's about a year ago. And he was like, man, he was like looking around, right? Sort of before everyone was going to work and stuff. I think it was after the training.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like everybody getting ready to go to work. And he was like, man, it's so crazy that I wake up and I go to a place where I train with my friends. It's uh-huh. Josh.
Yeah, he's
saying
this.
Like, yeah, I train with my friends 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
Every morning before work. That's crazy. Like, I'm pushing myself doing exercise.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think that also counts, right? It's like, because if you get angry... Right, it's like if you have a dog, right?
Yeah.
And the dog pisses on your carpet.
Yeah.
It's not intentionally trying to
no.
mess your day up, right? So it's like usually, I think like the people you train with, I think in training kind of can put that in perspective, where you're like, I am tripping. Maybe I shouldn't be this angry.
Yeah. The thing I do think though is that you get to a certain level in jiu-jitsu, and you do know more than the average person about fighting.
That's right.
So you may encounter someone who doesn't know jiu-jitsu or doesn't know fighting, but has a very strong opinion, and that opinion can be inherently flawed.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty simple question. Like, you can ask that person, when was the last time you had a fight, and like, how did it go? Because there are people, and not just jiu-jitsu, like in and around any gym, there are people that turn up every single day and fight, and not messing around, like they spar, they fight, they go for it. And the difference is that they then learn and they train and they get used to being calm in that situation. Whereas there's some guy that's never done it but has this like warped view of what it is. I think at some point you do have enough knowledge to respectfully disagree.
Yeah. I know two guys that have beef with one another back home.
Yeah.
One of the guys is ripped. Jacked, right? It's like both of them never trained anything. But if there was a fight, I'd bet on that guy.
Yeah.
So, but they live close to each other and they have like serious beef. So I asked one of the guys, if a fight was to happen, what would you do? He's like, first he admitted, he's like, bro, I'd be so fucked.
But that's good.
5 seconds later, you know, like you can tell like when went on in his head. 5 seconds later, he's like, ah, but no, I'll grab a rock. Oh, they started coming up with weird scenarios. It's like, you don't want to see yourself. It's like a little bit of the ego as well. You don't want to see yourself as like, I don't know how to handle this situation.
People don't want to admit it. Yeah. I was guilty of that in my late teens, early 20s, thinking that like the muscles and all this, and you know, just like imagining these scenarios where you would be okay in a fight, and the reality is you're not okay in a fight.
But I mean, it kind of looks like, even when you're watching, I remember like many times when you watch like MMA, you see like, I remember before training, I always think, why doesn't he just get up? Why doesn't he just get up right this way?
Like, why can't he just get up? And then you get someone to put it, and you're like, oh, okay, I see.
Exactly, because it looks ridiculous. It's like, ah, man, it's like, are they resting for the later rounds? What are they doing? It's like,
but what is amazing as well is, I personally think, the amount of times, the consistent amount of times you get checked on a mat, I think they are some of the best times, when someone comes and just puts it completely on you and just reminds you, like, you're not there yet. You know.
I got a question for you.
Hit me.
I don't know if I should do this. I'm gonna pull up that graph, right? But remember that emotion graph.
You sent me an emotion graph.
Yeah.
Oh, which had like, it was like a circle spiral graph.
Yeah.
And it had like key emotions in the middle, which then spanned out and got bigger and bigger, so that you could basically trace whatever emotion you were feeling back to one of the core emotions.
Exactly. That was really well explained. Thank you. Jesus Christ, I can see the graph.
Come for the jiu-jitsu, stay for the, what the painting of the pictures.
What do you think, like, I mean, this is going to be like, it's kind of like hard to picture right now, but like, what would you say are like the emotions you feel more often? When you're training?
When I'm training.
Yeah, and then when you're competing. Let's
Man, that's such a good question. Here we go. I found the graph. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 7 core emotions in the middle, which are happy, surprised, bad, fearful, angry, disgusted, and sad. I would say on the mat, you probably feel all of them all the time, consistently.
That's true. That's so true, man. From warming up until the end of the class, that's so true.
I think Coast most of the time is disgusted, because if you then span out from disgusted, it's disapproving, disappointed,
embarrassed,
awful.
Embarrassed.
I'm repelled. Yeah.
Coast. There was one time, I don't know if you're there, stop the class and it's like, Mo, man, if, like, you have the back of the school.
Yeah. If you have my name on your back
and you're doing this, and they're going to say, I taught you this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
Man, it's so strange. Jiu-jitsu, when I train jiu-jitsu, that is the only time I am 100% completely present in the moment.
That's true.
There's no other time I've done that ever in my life.
And it's like, I think also the environment helps a lot for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get there and you leave like everything, like the rest of your life, you leave it at the door. And then whatever, it's part of your life that you come into it, you live in like in the dressing room, like where it's like,
it's such a ceremony, right? It's such a ceremony. You don't step on the mats until you've taken all your clothes off. Like, that's such a massive thing. You literally shed all of your clothes and you put a specially dedicated outfit on to then step barefoot onto the mat. Like, if you think about that, that's such a ritual to go through, and it definitely helps with leaving everything behind.
That's so mad, because I was talking with a friend about this, even about like work or learning a new skill. It's like, we do, but there are like all these other things around it, and we do it as something trivial, but like I just never stop to think about that. Every time I am about to start training, there is like a whole ritual behind the way I start and the way I end. And it's like, and then for dressing up 5-10 minutes, and then other 5-10 minutes at the end, and the ritual is, and the training is in between.
I would say as well, it does help that for a large portion of training, another guy is trying to
choke you.
Yeah. That does keep you pretty focused on the moment.
Let's see. I think I feel happy a lot, man. But the happy is like not ecstatic. Like, oh my God. Ah.
No, it's almost like a refresh, like a cleanse. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's not like you ever like celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
But you definitely feel
I think now you feel it, miss it now that we can train. It's like,
you feel it more. One of the things that is really apparent is as soon as you have it taken away, you realize the positive impact it has on your life.
Yeah.
That is no questions asked. I'm just looking at bad.
But I mean, this graph is mostly bad. Actually, the name of this graph is, let me see. I think it's the emotion graph. It's not a graph. I tell you
one of the
emotion diagram
that I can definitely associate to a part of jiu-jitsu is fearful, especially around competitions. However, not so much for me now. Although, admittedly, no competitions in the diary. But the thought of doing one doesn't terrify me anymore.
Interesting. Do you get fearful the moment you sign up? Or like, is it like the day?
I used to. The second I signed up, that's when the anxiety and the fearfulness would start.
And like, do you think, because I noticed this, like the moment I sign up, the moment I pay,
yeah,
I don't know what happens. When I'm training 10 times harder. I train 10 times harder. Like, it's like I pay so much more attention to everything, even like to what I'm eating, to what time I'm sleeping. It's like I just turn on automatically. I could say, we're gonna compete next weekend. But if I pay on the day before the thing, I'm gonna get anxious because I know I didn't train. But like, if I pay like now, I'm ready to go.
That's
like
so interesting. 100%.
So like, I don't know how is it for you.
No, mine's the opposite. Mine is almost like I pay in advance and then I have all that time to think about all the things that could happen. Yeah. I have to say that used to be in the past. Now my approach to it is completely different. I spend a lot of time recognizing those thoughts, recognizing that that's what I fear and focusing what I know.
Yeah.
And what I know is that I'm going to train and I'm going to train hard. And I don't worry about anyone else that's signed up or anyone else that's competing. I don't worry about who's going to turn up on the day.
Yeah.
I focus on being the absolute best I can be on the mats, because now my philosophy is that, yes, you go out and you fight on the day and that's what wins the medals, but ultimately it's one training and putting the effort in there and then. And that is a much better mindset for me to be in.
Yeah, especially because you don't know what's going to happen.
Like, you don't know. Yeah. And I guarantee you can make up a scenario 10 times worse than what's actually going to happen. So the other thing I like to think is months and weeks of worry and then it's over in the space of like two hours. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All that time of your life dedicated and it was over. The balance isn't right. It's not worth it. So you have to find a way to reconcile that.
You know, to be honest, I don't, like, for example, I don't worry about it. Like, I worry about it on the day.
Yeah.
But like, till then, it's just like the whole thing about like, I gotta be prepared. Like, sort of, I'm trying to remember. I think I heard this in a movie. I don't want to go like a suck out like a sucker, you know. But it's just like there is this thing that turns on. So I was wondering, like, because what you said is so true. Like, most things we worry so much,
and it doesn't help.
You know what's crazy? It's we worry so much when we sort of like, oh, it has to happen this way, and also sometimes we hype things up.
Yeah.
So much, yeah. And like it's like, and when you look back, you're like, oh, this was nice, but
yeah. But it's like any emotion, like if you need to keep it in check. There's, you can be worried and it can be a good thing. Like if you're underprepared and you're worried, and then all of a sudden you realize that worry is because you're underprepared, and it motivates you to get prepared. Great, but if you're sitting there every day imagining and thinking, and as well, like, you said something has to go a certain way. Like, one of the things I've been realizing is sometimes I just need to get out of my own way. Yeah. If I'm more way more relaxed, don't focus on what could be, what couldn't be. Sometimes it just slots into place and you need that.
You know, one thing I think it's quite interesting about, I think, jiu-jitsu, and also about, we were talking about this, sort of, the basics, right? Our coach focuses a lot on
the basics.
The basics, yeah. You know, like,
I remember in one class he said, you know, some people may say my jiu-jitsu is simple and whatever, but you know, bread and butter, but it's jiu-jitsu. It is solid foundation jiu-jitsu, and I don't think you can ever knock that in any capacity.
And the thing you're saying right now, it's like about like predicting things. It's like, that's why it's like, it's easier to focus like on, it's not easier, but like, yeah, I think it's sort of like, I know what I can do. I'm going to do it well. You know, like I'm going to do extremely well. If anything goes wrong, I'm going to go back to what I know I can do. Right?
Absolutely. For me, it's the pressure of performing on the day. And also like, let's take the Europeans. You pay
so much
money, not just the entry fee, but you pay the flights, you pay the accommodation, the food. And then the thing about it is like, in the space of a gym where everyone knows each other and everyone chats and everyone's, you know, you, let's assume everyone's friendly and is asking because they care and they want to support you. To say I'm going to the Europeans and I'm going to compete, that's quite a, like, you're nailing your colors to the mast, aren't you? I was getting too caught up in the pressure then to go out and be something. You don't have to be anything other than what you are. And I think that's so important, because if you put in 100% effort, you can walk away from that that happy. Of course, you want to get the win, but there is still a lot to be learned from that whole experience, I think. And not just the Europeans, even if you enter like a local tournament and it's a big deal for you, there's more to be learned in the journey than the actual competition.
And that's a crazy thing about like what you said is like, you don't have to be anything other than what you are. I think
coach might disagree. You need to be better.
Yeah, you need to be
better, out your comfort zone.
Whatever that better you are, it's like it can like, man, it's mind-boggling that Bernardo Faria won multiple world sort of like world championships just pulling half guard, sweeping with the exact same
the
sweep,
basics,
passing guard and choking people.
It's arguably like, arguably one of the best ever, Roger Gracie. He won with basics.
Exactly.
The absolute like simple application of basic jiu-jitsu.
And the crazy thing is like, man, whoever they fought, they knew what they were going to do. It's like, oh my God, he just mounted me. I didn't expect this from him. So it's like, but yeah, like I think a lot of the getting anxious before beforehand is like makes you think, oh no, I gotta buy this. I gotta learn this. It's like having all these tools, but it's like
you're on a journey, and you just need to commit to it. And coach says, be comfortable in an uncomfortable position. A lot of times, regular, normal, let's say average, for want of a better word, people are coming into jiu-jitsu gyms and going through a transformative experience, and you're getting grabbed by a lapel grip, let's say, and you're getting thrown out of your comfort zone at quite some pace, and that can be disconcerting. People can struggle to adjust to that.
You know, Herpreet once said something really interesting. She said it's like walking into a classroom, but it's like it's not like the first grade classroom. It's like all the grades are in the same classroom. Yeah. Like
that's
someone
so true.
In
that's
10th
so
grade,
true.
Second grade.
So true. Imagine if you were like in reception, year one, and you go in there and it goes all the way up to like
so today we're going to learn calculus? You're like, what? I don't even know how to
that's
spell
so
my
true.
Name. You know,
you've got, like... Yeah, you've got your new colouring pencils, so some guy rocks up and he's doing quantum physics. Like, that is so
you know,
true.
The only difference is just an ass whooping. It's like, like,
the maths hurts.
Yeah, it's like, you're like, whoa, what happened? It's like, you know, someone is choking me. But it's like, the thing is, somehow, you do catch up. You know, like, you do catch up. It's like, it's literally just being like, yeah, man, it's like, and I think this is so hard. Like, man, I'm having, like, an epiphany right now. It's like, you can't really compare it to anybody else in the gym. It's like, much as everybody else is like, that guy's seventh grade, but you're like, it's fine. I'm gonna do here my. I'm gonna color my. My dinosaur here.
The only time to compare, I think, is when you compete, because you are literally saying, like this person versus this person. Yeah,
but now then you're going like to a first grade class and you guys are doing
One
plus one.
Yeah. But you can't compare your jiu-jitsu to other people. It's a slippery slope and you shouldn't be doing it.
On that note, Ollie, how do we
sign this
conversation
off?
Yeah.
How are you? What emotion are you feeling? There's one on here called aroused, Iki.
Well, that's my baseline. I'm always aroused. I'm like going through depression. I'm like,
the most confused erection you've ever had.
Oh my gosh. I don't think in that thing it stands for erection. I think it just stands for wow, Ali. You need to study that graph. But on that note, thank you so much for listening. The emotion I'm feeling right now is grateful. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I'm in London and today didn't rain. Yeah. And I'm grateful to be here with my homie, Oliver, and speaking with all of you.
Me too, man. Me too. And hopefully we'll get John Jitsu back soon.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, John Jitsu is in the toilet again. I'm kidding. We had a scheduling problem.
We'll get him back.
He's away. But guys, stay safe in these streets. Bye.